Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara on Daf Yud Amud Aleph with the words of Tzibor. Just to remind ourselves, the last point I had to run through a little bit. So just to chazer that point, the Gemara had mentioned that we were talking about Shtei Kupos. You had two boxes, one of Chul and one of Truma, and you had one Sa of Chul and one of Truma. So you can assume that each one went into the Heter box. You don't have to assume that it went into that the Chulin went into the Chulin and Truma went into the Chulin. That's how you have the right to assume that way. That's a special Gzera Darbanan. There's no real Chazaka to assume that the Heter went into the Heter and the thing of the Truma went into the Truma. But that was a special Gzera Darbanan. So the Gemara wants to assume the same thing with regards to if you have one house that was baduk and one that wasn't baduk and one chametz and one matzah, you can assume the matzah went into the heter, into the house that was baduk, and the chametz went into the house that wasn't yet checked. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, why do you say that? Isn't Truma Darabanan, and therefore Rav Zvana said Truma Darabanan and Chametz is Daraisa, you don't have the right to say that way. So the Gemara says no, because over here Chametz is also really fundamentally Darabanan, because if you did a bittel, if you did an nullification, that would be enough. Therefore, our case, we can also permit the special Din Darabanan of Chametz being brought into the unsearched house. You can assume that it went into the house that was not Baduk yet. Okay, that was what the previous case had mentioned. Now we're into another case. Tzibor, we're going to have a lot of interesting cases on this daf and the next daf and the next Amud as well. Tzibor Echad Shel Chametz. If there was one pile of Chametz, the fun of Shnei Batim Bidukim, and in front of it there was two houses which you already did bidika, so it definitely went into one of them. A mouse came and took chametz v'yadin and ilahay al. So it definitely went into one of them, but you don't know which house it went into. So we're assuming over here you don't know which house in case. So this is going to be different from the previous case, because there it was possible to assume that the searched house didn't have any chametz yet, and it went into a different one. Here, the present case, we're assuming that for sure went into a house which had done bedika. So you can't decide that just randomly. So how are you going to decide it? The Gemara says hanu shvei shvilin. This should be similar to the case of two shvilin, two paths in the Mishnah. Disnan. The Mishnah tells us in Taharos that if you have Shnei Shvilin, if you have two paths, Echad Tameh v'Echad Tara, one of them was Tameh because there was a buried grave over there, right? And there was a grave there, so it's going to be Tameh. And one was Tahor, V'alach Echad Ba'en V'Asa Tara. So one of them went on it and he had Tahor food. He was held Tahor food in his hand. V'Achavera, and his friend also came, V'alach B'Sheini V'Asa Tara, and he went on the second one. So we know for sure one of them went on a Tameh status. However, we know that there's a concept that Tameh, B'Rishus HaRabim, we can assume that somebody is going to be Tahor. So a Safik Tumah, B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor. Gemara learns it out from Sota that as only B'Rishus HaYachid is going to be Tameh. We're going to have more cases like that in the Hamshech. So what's the din over here though? Because you for sure know that two people went on it and one of them went on a Tameh once. Rabbi Yehuda says, if I first asked the Shaila, Reuven asked the Shaila first, the Rav tells him he's Tahor. And then Shimon comes, even though it can't be both of them were there. Since they asked at different times, you can rule Shimon as well as being Tahor, because again, this is Safek Tumah versus Harabim. However, what happens if Shnei Bevas Achas, if they ask at the same exact time, Tmei, and they're both going to be Tameh, because at the end of the day, you can't tell them a lie, you can't tell them they're both Tahor, because at the end of the day, you're for sure telling one of them that he's Tahor, and it's going to be something that's not true, so therefore, you have to say they're both Tameh. Tosos point out that this is a Din Derabanan, Midaraisa, you would be allowed to tell them they're both Tahor. I'm not exactly sure where Tosos get that from. At the end of the day, Metzias, you're telling them one of them who didn't, for sure is going to be Tameh, but that that's what Tosfos hold, that even in this case would be only a din derabanan. Okay, the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, Rav Yosi argues, he says, that both of them are going to be Tameh. So now the Gemara just first, before getting into how that explains our din, the Gemara first analyzes the Mishnah. Everyone's going to agree that if they asked at the same time, you're going to be Tameh. And everyone's going to agree that if you asked one after the other, Reuven then first asks and he says Tahor, then 10 minutes later Shimon asks, then Shimon's allowed to be Tahor as well. But no, the Shaila comes up, what about if Reuven is asking for both himself and for Shimon? In that case, Rav Yosi compares it to the case of them coming together, whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to be damel zechas, Rabbi Yehuda is going to compare it to them coming after one another. Rabbi Yosi is understanding that since the Chacham has to rule out both people at the same time, he can't say that they're both Tahor, even though it's only one person over here. Rabbi Yehuda is analyzing it, he's saying that no, only one person is right here, Lemaisa, right now. The Chacham is telling him that he is Tahor without mentioning the ruling of his Chaver, and Mamela will know that the Chaver is going to be Tahor as well. So this person could then understand his own, and the same thing would apply to his friend, and he's not giving a psak explicitly for the friend, and therefore he's not saying bevasachas, he's not saying that both of them are going to be Tahor at the same time, even though Mamela, even though that's clearly what is going to be coming out of there. Now, how did this relate to our case? When it comes to the Chametz, we're saying that if each person comes individually, even though we know for sure a mouse went into one of their houses, if Reuven comes first and asks the Shaila, then you can say that he is going to be, it's going to be okay. Then Shimon comes as he's also going to be okay. However, if they come at the same time, they're going to require a new search. And Lechora, this would be a Shaila, if they asked about him and his friend, would be the same machlok as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Now the Gemara continues a fourth case now. Safik al, Safik lo al. What about if there's a case whether it was doubtful whether the mouse even went into the searched house or not? So in this case, we're not even sure. The pile of chametz was in a courtyard. We saw saw the mouse take a piece and run off into somewhere. But we don't know whether it already went into a house that was badak or not. Tosus asked the question. They said, Tema Lari, what in the world is going on over here? Isn't this going to be a culture gain on the previous case? The previous case was where we know for sure it went into one of the houses and we're going to be makel. This case, we're not even sure if it went into one of the houses. Shouldn't we certainly say that it is going to be a kula? So why would there even be a shayla about this? That is the kasha of the Ran. If you want to look at an answer, the Ran, the Richos of a teretz that he tries to give for Tosus' question, Tosus leave it off as a tarachin. So the Gemara now continues. So the Gemara now is comparing it to the Hainu Bika. This is going to be the case of open fields. Again, you're not sure if it went into which area, where the mouse went into. So the Gemara says, Hainu Bika, that's going to be the case of open fields. And this is going to be Machlokas, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan. What do Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan argue about? If you have Disnan, if one enters an open area of open fields, Bika's like open fields, during Miosa Geshamim, is the rainy season, people are not allowed to walk through the fields, Rashi points out, because during the raising seasons, people are makbid that they're growing their crops there, so that is considered Rosh Hashayachid halachically, because people are not allowed to enter. Since people are not allowed to enter, then it is not going to be a Rosh Hasharam, rather be a Rosh Hashayachid. But Tuma Besade Plonis, and there was a Tuma, a grave in a certain field within this area. And one of them said, I went through that area, I don't know whether I entered this field or that field, I'm not sure where I went. So then Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar says he's Torah, whereas Chachamim say that he's Tameh. Shehayah Rabbi Elazar Omer, Safik Biya Torah. Rabbi Elazar says, in regards to this rule, that even in regards to walking in Torah, in Rosh Hashayachid, you're going to be Safik Maga Tumah Tameh. Only with regards to actually touching something is going to be Tameh. Therefore, since there is a doubt whether a person even entered the field containing the grave, Rabbi Elazar is going to say that he is Torah. So now when it just Rashi points out over here, that Rashi says that when a person definitely goes through a field in question, and Rabbi Lezer is going to say that the person is going to be Tameh, that is Safek Tuba Mershus Yachar. Rabbi Lezer over here is the only reason we make according to Rashi is because you have a Sveka. You have two Svekos over here. Whether a person even entered the field in question, and even if he did he pass over it? The Chachamin Rashi points out is going to argue on this far, but going to say that at the end of the day, there's no difference if he goes through one of these fields. It doesn't matter. Halakhically, all these fields are considered Mershus Yachar. It doesn't matter which field he went into. Lameis, it's really one question. The question is, did he go into the area of the grave or not, and it's not a fake sveka, that's why they argue over here. So now, in our case, what's going to be the halacha? We're saying that in the case over here, if you're not sure if the mouse ever entered the house, Rabbi Lezer would say that it's mekil, and in this case, l'chura, you should have understood that the chachamim are going to say l'chumra, but Rashi understands that since we're dealing with the nidra banan, they would say that you would not need to be machmir, that you would be mekil as well. That's what Rashi understands. Now, that seems to be a little bit difficult, because the Gemara said that this is plukted Rabbi Lezer v'rabbanan, so they say maybe Rashi didn't have that gear, so plukted Rabbi Lezer Rabbanan, because according to the way Rashi has it, they both would say that you're making in the case of chametz, and Tosus left us off as a little bit of, they disagree with Rashi on this point. And then in the day, they come with a different shot. We'll leave it. We'll just go with the shot of Rashi, just for clarity's sake, to keep it in as clear as possible. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Al ubadak velo eshkach." If a mouse went into a house went into a searched house with chametz, and the owner searched and he didn't find the chametz, pluk the Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. This is also going to be machlokas Rabbi Meir Rabbanan. This none we learn in the Mishnah. This is a reference to the Mishnah's the case of the Mishnah was talking about if you have a pile of stones that have a dead body under one of the piles of stones, you're not sure where it is. So the Mishnah tells you if you check one pile and you don't see it, then it could be tahor. If you check a second pile, then you could also assume it's tahor. If you check a third pile and also you don't find anything, then all of them are going to be tameh. So that is the shaila. That is that's what machlokas of here. If you check all three, so the Gemara says all about the velachah. You check the third one and you don't find it. That's put in my desan. Kol davar shechaskas tuma. Anything that was assumed to be tameh la olam utumaso ad shegi ala la tuma hechanu. So therefore, what you don't know what happened to it, then you have to assume that it's tameh over there. Meaning that if you checked all three piles, Rabbi Meir is going to tell you that you have to assume all three piles are machmir because you know that body was there and it's gone. So chachamim say no bodik ad shemigal esela that they say that you should reach the area that you checked and you don't. If you assume that there's no more dead body there, then you could assume that it's all good and some animal took it, something came and ate the dead body, so you don't assume that the dead body is there anymore. So now in our case also, with the chametz Rabbi Meir, so that's a shiloh over here. According to Rashi, in this case also Rabbi Meir is going to agree that the house would not be searched again because it's only derabanan. Tosos argue again on this point also. Tosos argue on this and they say that no, really, Rabbi Meir would be machmir. They're wondering why that should be. They disagree with the pshat of Rashi. Again, we're going to go with Rashi. Rashi assumes that in this case also, since they're both Rabbanan, again, Lashon HaPluk to Rabbi Meir Rabbanan seems a bit difficult why that should be. Meaning, how could you assume that they're not arguing over that point? Now the Gemara continues, what about Al-Abadak V'eshkach? What happens if you... if you checked, you went into a searched house already, and you checked that you checked and found that there was chametz, but you don't know if that was the chametz that the mouse brought in. The Gemara now says that that's plug the Rebbe Rabban Shimon Gamliel. That's going to be machlokas between Rabban Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe. The sign, as the Braisa tells us, sade shene'evad bakever. If there was a field which a grave had been lost in, hanichnas l'socho tame. The one enters that area is going to be tame. Nimta bakever. If a grave is found in it, nichnas l'tocho tor. Then one who enters the part of the field where the obviously the dead body was not, he didn't come in contact with dal ramos, or you were not, or there was no tree over it, there was no overing, there was no oil, so you walked in the sade though, so then you're going to be tar. Shanimar kevashavad tenenunza, because I can assume that the grave that was lost was probably the grave that you found on the side of that same field. Divrei Rebbe, that's the words of Rebbe. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, no, tibade kasa dekula, you have to check the entire field, because you don't know that it's the same dead body. So the Gemara is saying that the same halach would be over here, that when it comes to chametz, Rebbe would assume that the chametz that you found is the chametz that you brought in by the mouse, and Shimon Gamliel would say that, you have to check the rest of the house, you cannot just assume that you found it. Again, we're talking about where you find it right away in one of the rooms. Do you have to check the other rooms or not? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says he would. The rest of the house, you would not have to be checked, according to Rebbe. The Gemara, in all these cases, it's interesting when the Gemara mentions the mouse goes in that you don't need an insarach bedika. The Achronah just point out that maybe we can bring a raya from here that if you have a chazaka where it's efshar levara, because end of the day I can check my house for chametz. Why don't I just check it and I have a way to be mevara the chazaka if it's really emes? We see by dinim derabanan we're not necessarily or don't make you go check things and check out the situation. You can rely on the fact that the chazaka tells you to have even though there is a way to check for sure. If that would be the case. It's an interesting point in a lot of these cases. And we're now continuing. If someone put 9 pieces of chametz and then he ended up finding 10, this is a machlokas also. Pluk the Rebbe Rabbanan, this machlokas Rebbe and Rabbanan. The sign that we learn in the Braisa, if one put a money of Meister Sheni money, so you have a money, $100 bill of Meister Sheni money, in a box and later found 2 money, found $200 in that box. So you don't know. Where in the world did that second $100 bill come from? So the Gemara assumes that the box, we can assume that the first 100 was Meister Sheni money, and then you accidentally mix an extra $100 over there. So what do you do to get out of it? Rashi says that you take $100 from somewhere else, and you're poda, and you say wherever the $100 of Meister Sheni money is, and poda it onto this $100, and you're good to go. So that's Divrei Rebbe. The Chachamim say that Hakol Chulin, that all the money found in the box is going to be assumed to be non Meister Sheni money, because they assume that people are careful to put Meister Sheni money together, not with other regular money. So therefore, we can assume that the person already took out the Meister Sheni without having realized, and he put $200 later in. You can assume everything is not going to be Meister Sheni money. So then, in our case, when it comes to the Chametz, also the Chachamim would tell us that the entire house has to be searched again because they're concerned that the pieces were found in a new batch of Chametz and probably came in, and the original 9 pieces of Chametz are somewhere else in the house. That's what the Chachamim would say. According to Rebbe, though, we can assume that these are the original 9 pieces, and whatever happened to the 9 piece, 10 piece, you're not sure exactly, you don't have to assume that way. Now the Gemara says, what about Hinech Esra Umatza Tesha? So if you have 10 pieces of Chametz and you found 9, Hainu Sefer, that's the Hemshek of that price, which tells us, Titania, the price tells you, Hinech Masayim, if someone put 2 mana and Meister Sheni in a box, Umatza Mana, and then he later found only 1 mana there, Mana Munach Mana Muta, we can assume that 1 mana of the original 2 manas remains in the box, and the other mana was removed. Divrei Rebbe, that's where Rebbe holds. The Chachamim say, Hakol chulin, all the money found in the box is going to be chulin. So according to this, then Rebbe would hold that it would be chayev to do a bedika again only for 1 piece. So while Koran Chamer, you have to search for all 10 pieces, assume that there is a new chametz over here, and therefore you would have to be machmir to assume to check the entire thing. That is what comes out lefi this machlokas. Now the Gemara continues. Another case. What about Hineach Bezavizu Matza Bezavas Acher? So someone left chametz in one area, one corner of the house, and then he found it in a completely different area, a different corner of the house. So what's going to be the halacha in that circumstance? The Gemara now says, Plukta de Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel v'Rabbanan. This would be a machlokes between Rabban Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan with regards to the Braisa, which says, Disanya, the Braisa tells us, Kardim Sha'avad Bebayis, if an axe was lost in a house, Habayis Tame, the house is going to be Tame. We're assuming that a person came in who was Tame, Sha'ani Omer Adam Tame Nechlas Lasham Unatla. That can assume that Tame person came in and he took it and he borrowed it without permission. Because who's the type of people who are going to borrow things without permission? That's called stealing, borrowing without permission. A nice way of saying stealing. Who is someone who's going to be stealing? Probably someone who's not so careful about Tumah Vatara. Although we never know. Maybe there would be someone who's careful about Tumah Vatara, who's not careful about Tumah Vatara. Whatever it is, Lamaisa, we're assuming the guy was Tame who came in. So he took all of your kalim, he touched different things. And you have to assume everything there is Tame. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Habayis Tar, Shanil Mer Shiloh HaVeshach. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I can assume that the owner lent an axe to someone else and he didn't realize and the guy gave it back. So you're good. Or he took it from one corner to put it in another corner and forgot. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Where did we talk about putting things in different corners? Zavis mandachar shmeir. Who mentioned anything about a corner in the Mishnah? The Tana Kama was discussing an axe that was lost. Rabbi Shimon was responding to that. And then Rabbi Shimon talks about one corner to another corner. What in the world is this corner business over here? So the Gemara says, now this, we're missing parts of the Mishnah, of the Braisa rather. The Braisa meant to tell us the following. If you have an axe that was lost in a house, the house is going to be considered Tame. Could I assume that someone who is Tame came in and he took it? Or in a case where the owner left the axe in this corner and put it in another corner, the house is going to become Tame. Because a person is Tame came in there, he took it from one corner to another corner. So that's how the Hemshech of the Mishnah is talking about. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Abayis Tarshon Yomer Adam Mishul La'ach V'Shachach Oshin Am Zivu Zechner Chayes." So V'Shachach, he's putting in the second case about explicitly talking about that if you put it in one corner and found another corner, there you have to be Machmir. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "No, maybe you just put it in two different corners then forgot." So how does that relate back to our case? Our case is telling you the case of Chametz. We would tell you that according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if the Chametz was left in one corner then found another corner, we can assume that you put it there without realizing it. However. And then you wouldn't obviously require bidika again. Now, according to the Chachamim, what would they assume? They would assume that the owner moved it and then forgot, and then we don't know. Maybe a mouse came in with different chametz and put it in that other area, so therefore we have to assume you need a whole new bidika, and that's really what happened. You need a whole bidika according to the Chachamim. Now the Gemara asks a whole other set of shailas. Amar Rava. Rava has a question. Achbar nichnas v'kikar befib. If you have a mouse that came into a house with a loaf of bread in its mouth, v'nichnas achra v'umatza perurim, and the owner entered his house and he found crumbs on the floor. Tzarech bidika, you need a new search of bidika. Why? Because we don't assume that the mouse leaves over a lot of crumbs. Therefore, we don't have the right to assume that the crumbs are a loaf brought in by the mouse. The Gemara says a similar ruling. V'amar Rav, Rav also says, Tinok nichnas v'kikar v'yado. If you have a child, he enters with a loaf of bread in his hand. V'nichnas achar v'matza piru. And then owner entered after him and found crumbs on the floor. In tzarech bedika, you don't necessarily have a bedika. Nesha darko shal tinok lefar, because it's the way of a child. What does he do? He always leaves a mess. You can have a child for 5 minutes and you'll see very quickly that if you leave him with food or something, especially that is crummy, you will have it all over the floor. So here too, we can assume that the crumbs are the ones that you saw, and that was the one that the child had brought in. The Tosas point out, though, that over here you have to assume that Rav is assuming that the case is referring to the crumbs that are equal to the size of the loaf, meaning it has to be somewhat similar. If you're missing a huge chunk of it, then you would need to look for the rest of where the chametz that your child had brought into the house. Now the Gemara continues, by Rava. What about Achbar Nichnas V'Kikar B'Fiv? If you have a mouse who went into the house with a loaf of bread in its mouth, V'Achbar Yotze V'Kikar B'Fiv, and then you have a mouse that went in and went out of that same corner, you saw it running into a hole and it comes out. The Gemara says, "Mao, when he was he came with a loaf of bread. And he came out with a loaf of bread. The same hole. Clearly, he was having the same piece of bread. Or maybe you can assume Dilma Achrenehu. Maybe you could assume no. He stores all his food over there. He took a kazayas of bread from you, and now he brought in a different kazayas of bread. So really, you have another kazayas hiding behind that wall. You have to do a new hole in Medika. In Timsa Lomar Hainu Ha'Ida. If you are going to conclude the one in was the same that went out, then what about the following? What about his achbar lava nechnas v'kikar b'fiv v'achbar shachar yotz v'kikar b'fiv? What if one achbar comes in white mouse and then running out of all of a sudden was a black mouse coming out with the same with the kazayas? Can you assume that it's the same piece of bread? Mo, hi avada achrinahu. Can you assume that this case is definitely a different mouse? Therefore, it must have been a different loaf of bread. Oh, dilma arume arime minay. Or maybe you can assume that the black mouse took it from the white mouse and therefore he picked it up and took it out, and you wouldn't have to do bedika for the other pieces of bread that the first mouse had brought in. That is the shaila. Now the third shaila of Rava asks, "V'imtim to lemer achbar im lo shaklam adade." If you want to also assume that mice do not take food one from another, what about the following case about achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv? If you have a mouse that went into a house with a loaf of bread in its mouth, v'chol da yota v'kikar b'fiv, and a weasel went with a loaf in its mouth, ma, what's going to be lacha in that case? Chol da vade v'achbar shalkate. Do we assume that the weasel definitely took it from the mouse, and therefore it's the same piece of bread? Or maybe you can assume the following: odil ma'achrinahu. Maybe you can assume that this is different loaf. Dim isa de ma'achbar shalkate. Because if you're assuming that the weasel took it out from the mouse of the mouse, achbar b'fiv have mishkach, then the mouse would also have been found in its mouth. You don't see you wouldn't find the mouse there. So lachora, maybe it's a different thing. Now, fourth shaila about this. You can assume that the weasel definitely took it from the mouse. Then what about achbar b'fiv having mishkach? You conclude the following. You could say the other way. Not new part of the shaila is that if the weasel were to take the loaf from the mouse, then achbar b'fiv having mishkach, then the mouse would have also been found in its mouth. Then you should say achbar nichnas v'kikar b'fiv. Then what about in a case if you have a mouse that went into a house with a loaf of bread, and chulda yotze v'kikar v'achbar b'fiv chulda? Now the weasel went out, and there was the mouth and the kazayas of bread was found in its mouth. Now, in that case, what's going to be a lacha? Hacha badiyu. So think of soon. Where else did he get that loaf? For sure, that loaf was from the mouse. Or you can assume dilma if isa de iu nino. If you could assume that it was the same, the loaf of the mouse in its mouth. Kikar b'fi'achmar mishtaka chave bayishkuche. The loaf should have been found in the mouth of the dead mouse, not in the mouth of the weasel. Dilma mishum b'isusahu. Or maybe you could assume that the mouse fear of the attacking weasel, he dropped it and the weasel took that piece of the mouth. The Gemara says nafashakate. The loaf fell and then the weasel took it. So the Gemara leaves this off as a teiku. We're not going to answer. We don't know how to answer the shaila. Teaching the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this whole hemshech of shailas of Rava. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any of the shailas of Rava, and the Ramah just points out why did the Shulchan Aruch not mention any of these shailas of Rava? Because lechora these dinim are not nogir. They don't never come up. How often do they come up? It's not something that comes up at all, and therefore you don't. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bother quoting them. The Taz says, "What do you mean? Why don't we bring a case of a goy? The case of a goy can be similar to this. That is shchiach." So the Makor Chaim answers for the Taz. He says, what are you talking about? If the goy comes in, we don't have to assume he's starting to leave it in little pockets of the room like you do at these mouse and the case of the little baby. You definitely don't have to assume that way. So it's not the derech of them to do that type of thing. So therefore, for a goy, you wouldn't have the shaila. And the Mishnah Berurah actually paskins like the Makor Chaim, not like the Taz, who's saying that maybe by a goy, you'd have to be choshesh and do the, and have this whole shakta vatari of the Gemara binogea halacha lemaisa. Okay, that's interesting. We don't necessarily quote this halacha. Now the Gemara continues. By Rava. Rava had a question. Kikar b'shmei korah. If you have a loaf on a, like a rafter, imagine like in a camp, in bunk beds, like they had the rafters where the top over there, so you leave it, the high ceiling beam. Tzerach sulam lawari did. You have to go up a ladder and take it down. Oh, and tzerach, you don't have to go down. Mi'ar minan kula high lo chuk rabbanan. That much, rabbanan didn't make you go all the way up to go on a ladder or go get it. You're never gonna, you're gonna mivatil and you're fine. So the Gemara says, or kevan delanachas menashe lois lamechla. You're never going to go up there. You're not going to come to eat it. Or maybe there's a chashash delmazir and denachal lasamechla. No, maybe it's going to fall down, and then in fact you would have a problem. The Gemara says, because you might come to eat it then. You're going to assume yes. Sometimes it will fall, and then you might come to eat it. Kikar b'bor. If you have a loaf in a pit. Tzarech sulam la losa, if is someone required to ladder to bring it in or not? Oh, and tzarech, it is not required. Halchavad de lo avdi de selkum nashe. Here, certainly, it's not going to come up on its own, and therefore, there's no concern that it's going to be falling. Right? You don't have any shaila whatsoever about it falling. Oh, dilma zimnin de nachet lemavet tzurkev aysel lemechle. Maybe you can assume the other way that sometimes it's going to go down into the pit, and people are going to go hang out there for whatever reason. You're going to hang out in the pit, and you're going to take the chametz by accident with you, and therefore. That would not be, you would have to be choshish in that case as well. Now a third shaila, the Gemara continues. The imtim salomar zimdi denachet leturkiv aysa lamechle. If you could assume that sometimes someone's gonna come down to go take care of it from the pit, kikar b'fi nachash, what about if you have a loaf in the mouth of a snake? Tzarech chibar lohtzi, does a person have to hire this, a charmer, someone to take it out of the snake's mouth? Oh, and tzarech, he doesn't have to do that. Begufay tzarech rabbanan. Rabbanan only make you do a tircha with your body to search for chametz. However, but they don't trouble you to do something with your money by hiring the charmer. That you don't have to do go that far to do it. Oh, dilma loshna, or maybe this is going to be no difference. Teiku, that's going to be a shaila. We see over here fundamentally that being a shriach with your body is different than actually going to spend money. There's a whole shaila, interesting shaila that was discussed with by the Maharsham. There was a ma'isaya. The woman went one of the first days of Chol HaMoed, and she was going to take water from the well, and she found a whole thing of bread in her basket, and she threw it back in the water. And then for 2 days she didn't tell anyone about it. They were going to take water from the well, which had chametz in it. And then she was using another. She felt badly, so she told the rav about what happened. And all those two, 3 days, she went to a very far well, very far away. So we have a right. We have to assume that is she neser? Is she believed that usually someone doesn't neman to be asser other people's things? So is she neman to be assering everyone else who used that the well in the last 2 days? Is she neman to asser it or not? So one of the chazakas the Gemara relates that if a person does something, he'd be neman if he's going to lose his own money. If the Gemara in Gittin brings down a sofer that says that he if he's going to be mafsid his own thing, then he would be neman to posel a sefer Torah. So too, you want to say over here, because of the fact the one went all the way to the other city, to very far away, to go get the water from the well, then maybe we can assume she would be believed. So the Gemara says, so the Maharsham says, maybe that we can see a chiluk though between Torah and actually losing money, because we see from our Gemara that Torah isn't the same thing as losing money, that it's a lower level. That just being matriach yourself, just to force yourself to trouble yourself to do something, that's not the same thing as spending money. Fascinating, Shaila, and Dio. Rishon in the Marisham. And now the Gemara continues. Now we're quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bodkin or Arbasar, that we search for Chametz on the night of the 14th, Uba Arbasar Shacharis, Eubishas Abir, and also in the morning, and also the time of the Chametz, meaning the 6th hour of the 14th of Nisan. The Gemara is going to originally assume that this was all three different times. The Gemara was going to assume that you have to check three different times according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim Amar, and the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Lo Badak or Arbasar, if you didn't search on the night of the 14th, Yivdok Bar Arbasar, then you should check on the morning of the 14th. Lo Badak Bar Arbasar, if you don't check on the morning of the 14th, Yivdok B'tochamad, you should check Dafka in the 6th hour. Lo Yivadak Bar Arbasar, if you didn't even check in the 6th hour, Lo Yivdok L'Achamad, even check after that, meaning even all the way through this man till Pesach begins. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Umash Mishayar, whatever one leaves over after the Chametz, sorry, the Mishnah continues, Umash Mishayar, Nechana Betzina, you should put in a secure place in order, Kadesh Loya Tarach Lebedika Achar, you don't have to do another Bedika. We had discussed this in the previous Dapim. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara asks, My Tamid Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda, again, the Gemara is assuming right now that you require three different times to do Bedika. The Gemara says, because Rav Chista Rabba Ravuna, the Amr Tavayo, they both say that because Kineget Shlosh Shbasa Shabbat Torah, it's corresponding to the three times the Torah tells you to get rid of your chametz. The one pasuk says lo yir lachametz lo yir lachasor. That's one pasuk. Another pasuk says shivas yamim seor lematzav atechem. A 7-day period you shouldn't find any chametz. Ach by yomarisha there's business seor matechem. Also getting rid of your chametz in the third pasuk. So that's what the Gemara is assuming, that you have to get rid of it three times according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara says meisiv Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef asked a question on this explanation of the brayso. Rabbi Yehuda omer kol shelo badak b'shosh pakmelo shuv in a bike. If someone doesn't check at any of these three points, then he further doesn't have to check anymore. So the Gemara says alma bikan ve'ilachu depligi, that they're really arguing from here and onwards about the proper time, and not about the original time, meaning only here from onwards that you don't check according to Yehuda, whereas Chachamim said that you would check even after these three pointed times. Now, Yehuda seems to agree though that you would do it Leil Yodal, that's the Iker time, only once. You don't have to do it multiple times. The Gemara explains a different version of the question. Marzucha Masnihaka, he's how he explained the question. Meisiv Rav Yosef asked the question from the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shelo Badak Ve'echad Mishlosha Prakim Alal. Someone didn't check at any of these three times, Shuv Eina Bodak, he does not have to check anymore. Mara says, Alma, what's the whole machlokas? But Shuv Eina Bodak, anyone who's searching at any time after that point. So according to Marzucha, the Braisa quoted by Rav Yosef is saying explicitly that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that a person has to search only one time in three cases, as opposed to the Diuk. In the first way, this is explicit. Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing on the fact that you continuously check, but he agrees that you fundamentally should be checking on the night of the 14th. So the Gemara says, Ella Rabbi Yehuda nami imlo badakamar. So Rabbi Yehuda is assuming that he's disagreeing with the Chamin, who said that you're allowed to search after the 6th hour. Rabbi Yehuda says that only if you didn't search during the first time, you should be checking from that time onwards, and after that, you would not check anymore. After the 6th hour, you would not be doing the Shabbatika. So the Gemara says, and this is what they're fundamentally arguing about. According to Marsav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's understanding Mekame Isur in Basar Yisrael Lo, that only before the Chametz is Asur should you want to do a Bedika, and after it becomes Asur, you do not do a Bedika anymore. Why? Now the Gemara is going to tell you, because I'm afraid a person finds the Chametz, he's going to come to eat it. You're going to tell him to go look for his Chametz, he's going to come to eat it, he's going to put it in his mouth, and as we know, Chametz is Lo Bedilim, as we've seen in the previous Tapim. Careful, because you eat chametz all year round, you're going to accidentally eat this chametz. Rabbanan hold that we do not make such a decree, because they assume that a person is going to be careful not to eat the chametz. Once we tell you that at the end of the day you're checking, we're not going to be afraid that you're going to come to eat it. So the Gemara says, Umi gazar Rabbi Yehuda dilma asna mechmana. Is that really true that bichlal Rabbi Yehuda says that one is afraid he's going to eat something? V'atnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Mishikara va'omer. Once the omer offering was brought, we know the Omer was a mincha that was brought in the 16th of Nisan, the second day of Pesach. And so you had barley and etc. And until the Omer was offered, no new grain and chadash was going to be usher. That's called chadash, and that would make something usher. So the Mishnah tells you, Yotzin umotzin shuke Yerushalayim shin milayim kemach vekali. So once the Omer was brought up, they would go out and find the very day that the marketplace of Yerushalayim was filled with flour and grain from the new crop. So that's what the Mishnah says. Shelo baratzon chamim, but this was against what the chamim had wanted. Divrei Rabbi Meir was saying that was a problem. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer baratzon chachamim ayosin, that they did it with the ratzon chachamim. Velo kagazer. So the Gemara says that currently at this point, lo kagazer Rabbi Yehuda dilma asil lemeichal minay. Rabbi Yehuda would not be machmir that he'd come to eat it out. So the Gemara gives an answer. We'll give a Rabba's answer, then we'll pick up explaining the Kashan Rabba's answer. We'll say, Amar Rabba, Shaini Chadash, the Chadash is fundamentally different, because Mitoch Shelo Itartalo Ela Yedei Kitov, since you only permitted them to do it by plucking the stalks by hand, this is considered a Shinoi. Since you made them do it by a Shinoi, then by doing it by a Shinoi, we assume that that's not going to be considered a problem. So as a Kitov, who Zachar then is going to remember by doing it because you did a Shinoi. Okay, we're going to ask a Kasha for this Amar Le'Abaya, Bris Hashem. We'll pick up from Amar Le'Abaya, Abaya tomorrow.